First Person is produced in cooperation with the Far East Broadcasting Company, who rejoice in the stories of changed lives through the power of Jesus Christ. Learn more at febc.org.
They believe that that's their time to serve now, when they see the need that their brothers are in, so they rush toward them because they have love for Jesus, part of the same family, and that's exciting to see. Yeah.
Coming up now on First Person, the first of a two-part account of a trip taken just days ago into the countries of Poland, Moldova, and Ukraine. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Welcome to this special edition of our program. Earlier this month, I traveled with a small group of people for a firsthand look at the spiritual work of Mission Eurasia, an organization I serve as a volunteer board member. We started in Poland, where millions of Ukrainian refugees have fled, and you'll hear that report from Warsaw in a moment. From Poland, we traveled to the country of Moldova, also on the border with Ukraine, to witness the Eye Care Relief Project in motion, packing and distributing boxes of food, which also contain copies of the scriptures. Hundreds of tons of food have been packed and driven into Ukraine, deep into the war zone. More on that when we actually enter Ukraine and bring you next week's report. But we begin this time in Poland.
We are in Warsaw, Poland, and Poland has opened its heart to Ukrainian refugees who have flooded this country, escaping the war in Ukraine. I'm with Sergei Rakuba, president of Mission Eurasia. Sergei, let's first of all talk about how many refugees are in Poland. There are millions of them, aren't there?
They report that there are over 3 million refugees, 3.1, you know, so that's what they stated in the last couple of days, that crossed the border from Ukraine into Poland. And they, of course, spread, you know, through entire country, but we're in the capital in Warsaw now, and they report that the population of this city increased in the last, what, 6-8 weeks, about 15%. So it just gives you a kind of overall picture.
Yeah. Creates a lot of pressure on the infrastructure of a city, but the people have just warmly welcomed the Ukrainians, have they not?
It's absolutely amazing, you know, to see, you know, how Polish families, you know, open their homes to embrace Ukrainian refugees.
Yeah.
You know, I've been a couple of times to the border crossings, you know, where lots of Ukrainian families cross the border, you know, and they just basically, you see lines and lines of cars, you know, you see food trucks, you know, so, and for all, everything for a charge, you know, so people just want to help, but then they bring them to their homes. Even in this neighborhood we're staying, I know there are lots of families, so they open their homes, you know, so trying to help this Ukrainian refugees with their crisis.
It's a wonderful story, and we'll talk more as we go along about what Mission Eurasia, what part Mission Eurasia is playing in all of this, but we just left a large refugee center. Thousands of refugees have been housed in a former expo center here in Warsaw, and that's only one of Multiple centers, right?
One of many.
Wow.
One of many.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now we've come to a church. Tell me about this church, and we'll actually walk into the ministry center here in a moment.
Yeah, this is the Polish church that is housing Ukrainian church. Ukrainians started coming to this town, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, so looking for a better place to live. So this Ukrainian church was started like, what, 7-8 years ago, and they had maybe about 200, 250 people in it. So when the war kind of started, of course, lots of refugees, you know, crossing the border. They're looking for a place where they can find help. So this Ukrainian church here just opened everything they had, you know. So, but most important, you know, these refugees, you know, that settled here in Warsaw, coming back to this church. I was here on Sunday morning, Wayne, and seeing the church, this huge church. I don't think it ever had that many people in the building. So the overflow was all outside.
Prior to the war, how many Ukrainians would have worshipped here?
I was not here prior to the war, but they say it was about maybe 200, max 250 people on a good day and a holiday would be there. Now this building cannot fit all that can come on Sunday morning. They started two services. Yeah. I've been there over 600 people. The church was packed. But again, the vision of this church now, working with all these new coming families, refugee families, they already started three churches, you know, in the area, so that they have now reaching, you know, to this refugee community here.
It is a fantastic story. It really is. And I know Mission Eurasia is partnering with this church and many others. We'll talk about that. But let's go into the ministry center here.
As you see, these families are coming, you know, moms with children.
Yes. And you see moms with children, but no men.
Wayne, that's the thing, you know. See, men stayed back, you know, so they were not able to leave the country. Men age, you know, 18 through 60, military age, due to the martial law. Family, if have three children or more, so the government allows them, you know, to live with their families.
But it's very obvious that the men are absent here.
The men are absent, as you see, mostly moms with children and elderly, you know, so that they're here. They also say that out of all the number of all the refugees and internally displaced, they say about 50%, they are children, you know.
Wow.
So, and that just gives you the depth, you know, so, and, you know, so that crisis.
Okay, well, what's this door we're going to go in here? What is this place?
Okay, so this is the, based on this church, you know, so this is the Refugee Assistance Center. So this is the Warsaw Coordination Center for Ukrainian Aid, you know, and Refugee Assistance. That's the center we partner with. You see Mission Eurasia, iCare logo there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are providing financial resources. We are providing help, you know, for them to continue reaching to these refugees. We offer a lot of training, as you've seen, some of the leaders are here, and we're training their volunteers how to work with refugees, you know, so to help them to cope with their trauma. And so this center, you know, they receive about 150 people on a daily basis, offering them help. So let's go inside.
Yeah. Well, we've stepped inside this Ukrainian Aid Center at this Ukrainian Baptist Church in Warsaw now. I'm with Sergey once again. And Sergey, this place is alive. Look at all the people in here.
Yeah, that's
and
what's
here's
happening.
Pastor Misha here.
Yeah, Michael is overseeing all this work here. Yeah. And
Pastor, thank you for all of this.
Спасибо вам. Yeah, he says thank you. You know, that's a famous Ukrainian kind of greeting. So. But you see, this what's happening here almost 24/7. You know, they bring children here, they bring moms, you know, so they get some help here, you know, so they, as you see, you know, so they entertain them, you know, organize groups for them, offer them counseling here, you know, pray with them here. So, and that's what's happening, you know, on, the, I say, 24/7. Toward the evening, you know, you will see there will be more kind of elderly coming here, getting some supplies, you know, so they have supplies rooms here upstairs. They get food here, and it's all happening here around this church, you know. So the church becomes like a lighthouse of hope for these devastated families that find themselves lost in this big city in Warsaw.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Michael's standing right here, and you can translate for me.
Sure.
Where did this idea come from? Did you see this coming? I mean, How did you put this together so fast, Pastor?
Пастор Михаил, как все это случилось? Я понимаю, вы не планировали это все. Как это вы могли все это вот таким образом здесь, ну, организовать, вот сложить все вместе, что сейчас это так вот работает, помогая такому большому количеству нуждающихся беженцев?
Я верю, во-первых, это Божья работа.
So I believe God is in the midst of all of this. You know, He's doing this all. That's His work.
Это он дает посвящение в сердца волонтеров, желающих, которые
делают
это
дело. He puts that desire into the hearts of our team.
И Бог вкладывает в сердце вот эту мечту и желание помочь людям, которые в нужде.
So God, you know, helps us, you know, to see the need, and in His name, you know, so we're helping these people.
И именно благодаря вот тому, что есть другие верующие из других стран, которые сказали, вы не можете всего сделать, но мы вам поможем.
So, and, you know, thank to Christians from all over the world, you know, from other countries, that they see that there is a need, they come and help us, you know. So this is not just our work, this is more Christ family work, you know, overall.
Это работа с партнерами.
So, and we work with partners a lot, you know, there are...
Такими, как Миссия Евразия, другие церкви
like
США.
Mission Eurasia, you know, so that's one of our main partners, and there are many other churches from the United States come and help us.
Ну да. И те люди, которые вот они пришли здесь разбитые, без надежды, они здесь получают радость и поддержку.
As you see, people, you know, all of them, they left their homes, you know, so they were uprooted, you know, from their lives.
Сотни людей в день.
They come here and they get
you know, help here, you know. So we want somehow to help them, you know, to understand that, you know, we care, somebody cares for them.
This ministry, first and foremost, is a spiritual ministry. Food is necessary. Care is necessary. But it's a spiritual ministry, isn't it?
Это, ну, духовное служение. Они нуждаются, естественно, в пропитании, но, во-первых, это духовное служение, мы как понимаем.
Да, да, это так есть. И мы как церковь, мы как раз вот здесь, чтобы восполнить духовную нужду.
And we, as the church, first of all, you know, of course, we care for their spiritual needs as well, offering them pastoral care, counseling, and so.
Каждой семье мы говорим, каждой маме с детьми говорим, что вы не одни, вы не потеряны, мы здесь, чтобы помочь вам.
So each family, each mom, you know, so they get the message, so they're not here by themselves. There's somebody they can lean on, somebody who can help them, you know, besides them.
Молимся с ними, проповедуем им, утверждаем их в вере.
We're praying with them, helping them to strengthen their faith, you know, so if they're believers. Yeah.
И это и люди каются, люди обращаются ко Христу.
And we see so many cases, you know, people accept Jesus, you know, and there are many, you know, so they give their Jesus to Christ.
Беженцы.
Yeah, we have refugee families here. They're getting ready for baptism, you know.
Wonderful,
so.
Wonderful. Yeah. I look at the smile on pastor's face as he talks about
that. Huh? Я, да, прекрасно просто. Я вижу улыбку на вашем лице. Говорит, вы сияете от этого.
От того, что Бог делает.
You know, yeah, I'm so happy to see what God is doing through all of this.
Now, let's take you to Moldova as we watch Mission Eurasia food boxes being packed by volunteers, some refugees themselves.
Our partner in this ministry, one of many partners, is Feed My Starving Children, and Mark Kria is here on this trip with us as well. Let's give Mark the microphone there. And Mark, I'm so glad to have met you and to see what you are, and Feed My Starving Children are doing to help in this crisis.
Wayne, it's our pleasure. And so I'm here with Junior Obrand, our Vice President of International Programs, and we've been working in Ukraine for 8 years now, sending millions of meals to the refugees. And so this is just a continuation of that. Obviously, a bigger effort now. In the last 70 days, we've been reminded, 70 days of war now, we've committed an additional 7 million meals just in this last 70 days. And so we're going to be here. I was telling Sergey, we're going to be here today. We're going to be here in 6 months and in a year. From so many people in the United States, many Christians in the United States. These are our brothers and sisters. I get to take what I saw here today back to them and say, they're working, they're sacrificing every day. This is the church at its best,
yes.
I would tell you.
Yes, yes. Good point, Mark. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the next few days of being with you and with the others on this trip. Lord willing, we will actually get into Ukraine. Yep. And encourage the folks there, and it's just so exciting to be here at this time in history. This is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, we were talking. People will be talking about this for decades from now.
Right.
What happened? How people helped? We're just going to be a part of that,
yeah.
And we work all over the world, but we've got the ability to do this and to help our brothers and sisters here.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
what we're going to do. And we have the very best partners.
Amen. Amen to that. Yep. All right. Well, we'll talk some more, guys. Thank you so much.
We then journeyed to a camp of refugees where we delivered food. I spoke with Leanne Swords from the church at Station Hill, part of Brentwood Baptist in Tennessee.
You are a church missions minister,
mm-hmm.
and so you're here for a very specific reason. I'm sure you're experienced at doing this kind of trip, but what is hitting you special about this one?
The refugees that I've worked with in the past have always, you know, they're a lot more removed from their experience of actually leaving wherever it was. Mm-hmm. They've been possibly in refugee camps for, you know, a decade before they make it to America, you know, and so I've worked with people who that's in their history, but I've never really worked with people where it's in their present. They're living it, they're experiencing it, they're still traumatized, they're still not really even sure where they are or why they're there or how long they'll be there. So I guess the thing that has stuck out to me more than anything is how many of the refugees are turning around and wanting to volunteer and help mm-hmm. other refugees. So yeah. they barely like get in place where they are, and yeah. then their whole heart is to serve and to welcome others and to take care of them.
Well, your church has supported Mission Eurasia. Mm-hmm. Many people listening have supported Mission Eurasia. Mm-hmm. So we're all in this
sure,
together.
Sure.
Collectively, we can do this job, and even the food we ate today. But I'm thinking of last night when we visited a Baptist, a brand new facility. I mean, acres and acres mm-hmm. and acres mm-hmm. that had brand new buildings, accommodations that were put together for children, a children's camp, as I understand it, mm-hmm. right?
It's a children's home. Part of it was a children's home
right,
that was
yeah.
put there for so foster parents. But then, yeah, they were working on building the other half up for camps in the summer, and they weren't ready. They weren't planning, you know, to have people living there already. But they had the space, and they had people showing up, and so they made it work.
Is that a God thing or what?
Of course.
They have these buildings
yeah.
standing there.
Absolutely.
Empty, waiting for someone to fill them, waiting for that summertime, and mm-hmm. these refugees come along and need housing.
Right.
And remember the refugees that we met, and I'll talk about the family that you spent time with in a moment, but there was this 99-year-old World War II veteran nurse who
yeah.
served in Siberia, and she was the oldest refugee in the camp.
Yeah.
Will you ever forget Nina?
No. Not at all. And I have this amazing picture when I sat down next to her before she looked at the camera. She was looking at me like,
oh.
Now who are you? Like, where did you come from? And
wow.
why are you sitting
wow.
here?
Wow.
But it's so precious. Yeah. And just, yeah, the thought of her daughter telling us that she still wakes up in terror, like yeah. she wakes up thinking that she's under attack. It's just,
sad, huh?
It is so hard to think mm. about, yeah. Mm.
But you sat down at a table and spoke with a family of 12, a mom and a dad and 10 kids, and we need to explain that the men are required to stay in Ukraine unless they have three or more children.
Right.
And this man overqualified
absolutely.
to leave the
yeah,
country.
Yeah, overachiever. Mm-hmm.
But they had a harrowing escape from Ukraine, and we can't
yeah.
go into all the details, but you heard their story.
I did. It was unbelievable. Yeah, the short version is they had gotten a ride to the border, and then the line was 26 kilometers long, and they weren't moving at all. And so they got out of the vehicle that they had come in and started walking. They had a relative, I guess, that lived nearby that came and got them and then drove them around the back roads and got them up close to the border. But when they got to the border, of course, now they were on foot. And that turned out to be a really big problem because they were only letting people through that were in cars or vehicles.
Oh, I see.
But they were getting kind of pressed up against the gate. So this mom and their 10 children. So the oldest is 18 all the way down to probably about 2 or 3. And of course they're getting like mobbed basically because the crowd's trying to push. They're getting angry because the people in the cars and the buses are warm and they're being let through, but the people on the ground are freezing and they're not being let through. So the short version is they kind of got pushed through the gate, but the dad was not allowed to go through. So they were separated from each other.
How frightening, huh?
Terrifying. And the guard was saying, we can't let you in because all these other men are not being able to come through. So if they see you come through, we're going to have a big problem. So they said, the only way you can get through is if you can get in a vehicle. And so that man literally went down the row, just like begging, knocking on, you know, saying, my children already are through. Please help me. Please help me. No one would let him in. It's not because they didn't want to, but because
right.
they were all,
yeah,
you know, a vehicle
packed,
for
tight.
Four,
yeah,
had
right.
10 people in it already.
These are not large cars, right?
Yeah. So finally, one guy said he was in like a shuttle bus, and so he said, if you can squeeze in, like I can open the gate, and if you can squeeze in between the door and the back seat, which is not meant for a person,
no.
if you can squeeze in there, basically you can ride in our trunk across the border. And so that's exactly what he did, and
yeah.
he got across the border that way and reunited with his family. But yeah, this I can't even imagine. And it was sub-zero. They were freezing.
Oh.
And then they even had to, once they got across the border, walk another kilometer or so with their 10 kids. They had abandoned everything on the side of the road. So they literally crossed into the country with nothing except the clothes that they were wearing.
They left everything behind.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in Moldova now, hoping to move on someplace else,
mm-hmm.
probably,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, actually, they are supposed to be going to the United States,
oh.
but they have they were doing that anyway. They were about to move to the United States before all of this happened, so that's why they had already sold everything.
Huh.
And then they've got to pass some kind of medical, there's some kind of exam that they have
okay.
that coming up in a week or so.
All right.
And hopefully, if they are able to do that and make that appointment, then they've got
right.
family in Oregon.
Well, we're not going to mention names, but if you just remember to pray for that family of 12
yeah.
who are at this moment in Moldova,
yeah.
and hoping to come to the States. And they represent so many other refugees who just have hopes and dreams. Some want to return to Ukraine. Many want to, and many are returning already to Ukraine, even though this war is very much on right now.
Right.
So, and we're not far from it right here. So.
Nope.
Maybe we should put ourselves back in the hands of our hosts and see what happens the rest of the day here.
Absolutely.
All right, Leanne, yeah. thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Pavel, we've come to this Baptist camp here where refugees are living, but this was a pioneer youth camp for the communists when they were in control of this country and many others during the Soviet times. Tell me what that was like. You were actually, when a child, were camping here at one time.
Yeah, I remember in the 80s, when I was a child, I was like 11 or 12 or 13 years old, and we would have this chance to come to these pioneer camps during the summertime for 1 month, where we were trained communistic type of motos and marching.
Did you wear the uniform?
Yeah, we had uniform. We had a red scar. Right there, you had to keep it all the time when you were going around back and forth, and then we learn some communistic type of songs, marching, and so, and had some games together. But anyway, that were for 1 month, something similar like that. And every child at that time were sent to this kind of pioneer camps.
This must bring back memories for you then to walk in here. But now, to know that, well, of course, at the moment, these refugees have found refuge here, but now children come here to learn about Jesus.
Exactly. When the collapse of Soviet Union 30 years ago, that were this camp were abandoned for a number of years, and then several churches got this property, got these buildings, and then they started to bring kids here and teach them about Jesus Christ, about the good news. They start to make these Bible camps activities during the old summer times, as well as right now. We are at the camp. They called it, renamed it Joy Camp.
Yes.
So they would like to bring a joy in the Christ for the kids, every child right here. And currently we have like almost 100 people here of refugees as well as kids.
Well, we're back in the van. We've left Joy Camp with our new friends, these refugees from Ukraine. Again, Sergei Rakuba is sitting next to me in the van, and we're, you tell me what we're doing, Sergei.
Yeah, we spend, couple hours there at the camp, grateful, you know, so that the church, local church here in Moldova is providing so much care for them, you know, offering the shelter. Okay, so, and we're close to the border where Transnistria, Moldova, and Ukraine share its kind of, you know, border. And they're quite disturbing activity now on the side of Transnistria in the last few days.
So we're going to go into what is known as the neutral zone. We're not going to go into Transnistria itself, are we?
Yeah, we're going close to the Czech border point. We will see, this is one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's when we're crossing into a neutral territory
okay.
now between two borders.
All right, I'm going to lower the microphone
and then
here. Yeah.
That's when they advise you, you know, to switch all your, turn your devices off.
Yeah.
And I think that's what
okay.
you should do, Wayne.
That's what I should do. So we're going to go. Go quiet here. Thank you. Well, we did drive into that neutral zone between Moldova and Transnistria and came out again. The countryside was beautiful with orchards and vineyards. You couldn't tell that this was one of the world's most disputed territories. Next week, in this series of reports, we'll travel into Ukraine itself and learn more about the work of Mission Eurasia, which is not primarily a humanitarian organization, but is responding to the great need for food and spiritual help to the Ukrainian people. Next time, we'll visit with a group of displaced Mennonite families living far from home, but working hard every day to reach back into their homeland by bravely delivering food and spiritual nourishment. The indomitable spirit of these wonderful believers will inspire you. Join us next time for Voices from Ukraine. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Thanks for listening to First Person.